You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friend. Hey. It's great to have you back, Balls. Welcome, my friends, to episode number 194 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Also Brutal Dave. Hello.
And we also have...
Hey, it's me, George.
Your new name is just Balls. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Balls McGeorge.
Balls McGeorgie.
And we brought back our good friend, the metal detector, Justin, from Mind Fudge Comedy. Welcome back to the
show. What's going on, guys?
How are you guys?
Glad to be here.
The last time we actually got together was our 2020 rewind, because the last episode that we did, it was Dave and I with Matt Harvey, and that was a fucking blast, man. That live stream.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I would like to do a lot more live streams.
I'd like to thank everybody that joined in for the live stream of that one.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. It was good to see people there asking questions and playing along.
It's good to see Matt being able to like just geek out on comic book shit.
And he did.
He definitely did. He's great. If you don't know who he is, George, after you asked before, we made that playlist for you. But if you have you haven't heard Exhumed yet, did you listen to it?
I don't listen to music anymore.
Okay. But Dave, have you?
I feel like that's a long con George is going to try to set up.
Yeah, I'm not going to let that pay off for you, sir. Dave, have you listened to that Pounder album more?
Not since then, actually.
Yeah. It's really catchy. It's really
it
really
is.
Good.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's just I hear
some say it pounds.
It does pound.
But I'm.
All right. Good night, folks. We're done. That's it.
And this is my TED talk. I'm heading out.
Don't drop the mic, dude. We're good. So what have everybody been up to? It's been a little while. Let's start with Dave. What you been up to, man?
Trying to imagine what life as normal looks like again. And I don't know. I've actually been spending a little bit more time recently doing things I like instead of just, you know, living in the existential dread.
Sure.
Which had been my norm for the longest time.
So, like, man, 2020 is over. You need to let go of the existential dread and welcome the new dread.
There's all new dread. Welcome new dread.
Is it judge?
No, it's no longer orange flavored. It's a different kind.
is it a judge dread?
Might be.
Maybe.
It would probably be a hell of a lot worse if it was, let's be honest. I don't think I talked about this yet. I got a new computer.
Right.
You mentioned it last
congrats.
Time.
I think I had ordered it last time we were all together. So I went kind of all in. This is my first new computer in about a decade. So I kind of went all in to make sure I had hardware that's going to have some longevity, because I don't know when I'm going to be able to get another one.
And you know about a lot of stuff. You used to build your own stuff too, didn't you?
Yeah, I have something of a tech background. I've worked in tech before.
I
mean, I've built PCs, and I've been doing that since I was a kid, actually. But I hadn't built one in a really long time. I didn't build this one. It's prefabbed, but I went and laid out all the specs that
smart enough to know what specifications you want and all that kind of stuff, and you know what it means. When a lot of people out there are like, oh, what is 8 teraflops mean? Nobody knows that, but
nobody.
not even Microsoft.
It's all
knows
made
that.
Up anyway.
Yeah,
it's all made up. But I've been that's been cool, and so I'm actually able to play some of the stuff I've had in my Steam library that my old machine didn't play before. So I've been playing a lot of City Skylines, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I am a big City Sim fan. And my last machine could run it, but only so much. Once my cities got to like a certain size, it started to get really laggy, a lot of slowdown. Plus, it took like half an hour to freaking load the game in the first place. So it's like if I wanted to play, it was a goddamn commitment.
With your love of like city building games is like my love of like roller coaster simulation games.
I've never actually done a roller coaster or theme park sim game, and I don't know if they would have the same appeal to me or not. Because I mean, obviously, I'm a big theme park fan as well.
Yeah, they probably would, dude. Especially a lot of them are very, you know, like SimCity, that type of stuff, City Skyline. It's very you can get very in depth in what you have to deal with. The past week I've been playing the hell out of Planet Coaster on my Xbox, but I haven't been playing like the open world type of deal where you just build whatever. I've been playing the campaign because on the other one it crashes all the time, and I'm waiting for them to fix that. But I've just been diving into the campaign mode, and now I'm like almost to the medium level, and they're fucking hard. It's difficult. Like you have people quitting on you all the time, and you have to like you have to make sure all your shops have like a certain amount of value each month, and it gets very difficult. But it's a lot of fun though.
Very cool. Yeah, this City Skylines is pretty, even the vanilla version, it's all of these like city games have a huge mod community. There's that's a pretty significant part of this whole deal is the mod community, and City Skylines is no exception. I haven't even gotten into all that stuff yet. I'm just playing the vanilla game.
It's an Xbox game too, isn't it? The console version.
They did do console ports of it.
I wonder how that is.
I'm pretty sure I have one on PS4 in my library. I haven't played it on there yet, so I don't know what it plays like. But it was like one of the monthly free games for the PlayStation Network, and I snapped it up then. But even that, like, you can do mods and stuff on there as well to a certain extent. The PC stuff is a lot more moddable. I'm not even getting into that yet. I'm still playing the vanilla game because it's considerably complicated enough.
I mean, I've owned Planet Coaster on my Steam library for years, but I don't really have a system that can really play it. And I don't have all the DLC. I know there's a lot more DLC for like the PC version. Like you can get like the Munsters coach. You can buy Ghostbusters stuff for that game. All this kind of cool stuff, which hopefully that stuff will come to the console, but you know, copyright, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's cool, man.
So I've been doing that. I've been, you know, just kind of playing a couple other things. I've been actually watching some TV shows, catching up on some stuff that I had missed in the past. Like, I have watched through all of Cobra Kai at this point now. I had gotten behind on that one. I loved it when it was still a YouTube show.
Yeah.
The first season when it came out on YouTube. I watched it on there and I loved it. And then I hadn't watched any more of it. Until about a couple weeks ago, and I worked through
it's
second. I started back over at the beginning and watched all the way through.
Oh, did you? Yeah, because I just binged it all the first two seasons when it came to Netflix, and then we binged like the third season when it came out. I actually just went back and watched all first three Karate Kid movies in the past month.
I wanted to do that, but where are they streaming?
If you have Amazon Prime, they're streaming for free, but there's commercials.
Are they? With commercials.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not too cumbersome though. It's
I thought I had looked on there.
Man, the third one is not good.
I love the third one.
Do you really?
Yeah, I like the third one a lot.
I you know what? I was watching it and I was like, I don't remember this movie. I don't.
Now the setup for it is like completely, I mean, they're all completely ridiculous, but that one I think has by far the most ridiculous premise.
Yeah.
That like his millionaire friend decides to commit
to
his entire life for what, 2 months, 3 months of his entire life to making this teenage kid's life hell.
He's like, so overacting too. It's so like, dude, take it down.
Completely ludicrous setup.
It does lead to one of the best payoffs in Cobra Kai though.
With
like
which
the,
one?
The Cobra Kai when he goes to Japan and meets everybody in season three is like awesome. That was one of my favorite.
That was pretty good too.
That was Karate Kid 2.
See, you don't remember 3.
I don't think I've even seen the third one.
I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't remember this movie at all.
So the third one was in Japan.
No, that's the second one.
The second one is in Japan. The third one is after he comes back and Priest gets one of his old non-buddies who is rich to basically hire a ringer to compete against Daniel in the next year's event. And this guy's like a professional, he's a professional karate guy.
Oh, you're right.
And he won't compete in the tournament because the only reason he competed in the tournament the first time was to settle the beef with Johnny.
So he's not
going to compete this time.
Well, he wanted to compete, but Miyagi didn't want him to.
I definitely have never seen the third one.
Silver and their ringer basically torture him into
doing it.
Yeah.
There's that weird scene where they're climbing up a mountain or something to get a bonsai tree.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that clip before. I might have seen parts of it and thought it was
stupid. I didn't remember the movie. I know one and two were definitely fresh in my memory, but the third one I'm watching and I paused it one time, like, I don't think I've ever seen this.
I watched it all the time.
Yeah, I had them mixed up.
I didn't even finish the TV series. I kind of tapped out halfway through season three.
Wow.
I really enjoyed
it. I got bored by like the third or fourth episode, and I was like, yeah, I'm done with this.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's great. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's a perfect blend of...
It's better than it should be.
I have said that so many times. The show is way better than it has any business being.
Exactly.
I agree with you, but it just got tiresome after the, I don't know, by the third season, around the fourth episode for me, I was like, I need something else.
But did you watch them back to back to back, George, or did you watch them spread out as they aired?
So I watched season one and two back to back whenever it launched on Netflix, and then I kind of was excited to see season three. And then I kind of like watched an episode like a week or so, or like every now and again. Mm-hmm. I just found myself being kind of bored with season three, so I just didn't watch it anymore.
You know what's funny? After watching the Cobra Kai all three seasons and wondering to myself, man, Daniel was a fucking little whiny bitch. And then going back and watch the movies, I'm like, oh yeah, he's been that way his whole life.
Yeah, dude. Did you know, dude? He's about to turn 60.
Yeah, he's fucking old.
Yeah,
I saw that. I'm like, wow. I always, when I'm watching something, I always look. I'm like, how old are these people? He's like 58 or something like that.
No, he's gonna be 60 this year.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy because you think about Karate Kid that came out in what 84?
85, I think, was the first.
Okay.
Maybe 84. 84, 85, somewhere in there.
So yeah, I mean, he was in his early 20s playing a teenager already.
And so then by the time Karate Kid 3 comes out, he's pushing 30, still playing an 18.
Exactly.
I mean, to be fair, he does have a baby face.
He still does.
I think though that like, what's his name? William Zabka, who plays Johnny. He's great.
He steals it. Yeah. He steals the whole show.
I think the
premise and the concept they came up with where they paint the light into Johnny's favor, where you don't know, you start thinking about back to the movies. That's why I rewatched them. I'm like, who was the bad guy and who was the good guy? It just sort of like blends that memory of it.
There was about, I don't know, a year or two before the show came out on Netflix, there was like a viral YouTube video that was basically that.
Yeah.
It was a viral YouTube video that was like, actually Daniel was the dick the whole time. And they like laid the whole thing out. And then there's an episode in the first season of the show where Johnny basically goes through that video point by point. He's retelling his story to Miguel. And basically goes through that video point by point. I'm like, pretty sure that video was the impetus for this entire show.
Apparently the showrunners are the three dudes that run it. I've seen like interviews and stuff. They're really big Karate Kid fans and they came up with, it's like Favreau doing like Mandalorian, you know, which we're going to get to that later, but you know, how much of a love him and Dave Filoni have of the project they're working with, the source material, they're giving it that special love. And you can definitely tell in Cobra Kai. That's the only reason it works, I think. And then everybody was into it.
You can tell that they really love it. There's so many little like nods and Easter eggs. Even like certain characters delivering certain lines in certain ways that are callbacks to the movies,
yep.
you know, and that's pretty constant. But also that, like, it's the show is sometimes really, like, heartfelt and or smalty.
Yeah.
But then other times it's completely making fun of itself.
You said the most and Yiddish word I've ever heard you say.
Schmaltzy.
Yeah.
And it feels like you never are quite sure which of those two directions it's going to go. Yeah. Are they going to make a joke out of this, or are they going to, you know, be respectful or whatever of the source material? And it seems like either way they go, it works.
Yeah.
And you never know what you're going to get. And so it's kind of delightful either way. Some of the best jokes are when they're playing off of something from the movies.
Yeah,
and then
for sure.
Something that's like the juxtaposition of that you wouldn't expect happens.
And I think
that just works so well because Johnny and Daniel are both stuck in time. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is on, and they're exactly how they were in the '80s. So,
yeah, I mean, Johnny's still in a Whitesnake and Motley Crue and all that shit, and doesn't know what a fucking how to use a computer until they need to. And it's they played it really well.
Yeah,
they do. It's a well thought out show.
So, all right, let's go with George. What have you been up to, sir? You don't have to talk about Cobra Kai. Shut up.
Apparently not watching TV.
Apparently not.
I don't watch TV anymore either, Carrie. I don't do anything anymore, really, to be honest. I just sit in a room and stare at the wall.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, you got nice walls, so you got posters everywhere.
They're expensive walls. No,
they're expensive walls, so you better look at them.
Some very expensive walls at this point. No, I haven't really been doing much. Watched a couple of movies here and there. Really just been busy with work and
yeah.
life and other bullshit that
yep.
people listening to the show probably don't care about. So
they care, just not.
Do they
about,
though?
Not about you though.
Yeah, exactly. No one really cares about my job or what I do.
No, they do. Of course they do.
No, they don't. No, it's okay.
What movies did you watch?
I recently watched Freaky, which was that horror movie, the Freaky Friday 13th mashup.
Yes. Has anybody else seen this? Have you seen it, Justin?
Oh, yeah. I watched it
Dave, have
months
you seen
ago.
It?
It's really fun.
I have not seen it.
I watched it last month, and I was so pleasantly surprised by it. I think I mentioned it on our last episode was Matt Harvey, dude. I was like, I really loved this movie. It was everything I wanted it to be. It's definitely a horror version of like Freaky Friday, you know, that whole beginning part of it, like a horror movie, but then it goes into that. And just seeing Vince Vaughn acting like a teenage girl, and then the teenage girl acting like just a deranged serial killer, that just made the movie, man.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn was definitely the secret ingredient to that movie actually working. I don't think any other actor could have made it as enjoyable.
I don't know about that. I have one pick that could have filled that role and made it just as good.
Who's that?
Rob Schneider.
Oh, God.
It would have been the hot chick all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, no.
But there was...
Vince Vaughn is just great because he's like this 6'5" gargantuan of a man acting, prancing around. Like, every time he runs, his hands are in the air running like a little girl and...
I apologize apologize real quick. George's audio was sort of glitchy here. We are doing this from a live, online, so still in the pandemic. So apologize for that.
Womp, womp, womp.
I agree, man. Vince Vaughn, when he was like the serial killer, he was so fucking scary. Just like you could tell he was like putting everything into it. Then when he was like the teenage cheerleader girl, it was so funny, man.
He has a lot more range than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, he comes from he used to do like dramas and stuff like that before mm-hmm. he really got into the comedies.
Yeah, he kind of got locked into roles where he was just playing the same, you know, man-child.
Yeah, like dodgeball and all that.
But I mean, he's got a lot more range than that. I mean, look at True Detective, look at this. Like,
Psycho.
You can see him do a lot of stuff that's, you know, more... Psycho. Acting.
That's the pull you want to do.
The Psycho remake. I liked him in it. Why not?
He's not bad in it. Like, yeah.
The movie's terrible, but okay.
So what have you been up to, Justin?
Oh,
I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Well, I've you know, I've been watching lots and lots of movies, like always. I've also recently gotten into the stock market.
Like celery stocks?
No. Like actual stocks, crypto and stocks. Started doing that a few weeks ago.
Sorry, dude. I had to.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's stonks.
Stonks. That's right.
So that's been taking a lot of my time. I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of research, and it was doing pretty well, actually.
You got into it right after GameStop got fucked over.
Yeah, I ended up buying a few shares of GameStop way down. So I own like 4 shares of GameStop and like 35 shares of AMC at the moment.
So if you go into GameStop, they say, I own 4 shares. Do you get more for your trade-ins?
I don't think so.
No? Damn.
They'll probably give me less for them than I paid for them.
Well, definitely. We'll do that. I worked at GameStop for years.
I bought stock in AMC and then it went like immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, damn it.
The theater?
Worst timing ever.
Wow.
But I mean, it's one of those things you got to hold on for the long game, and it will go back up. I believe in AMC. It's a company I've always enjoyed. So even if it doesn't make a huge profit for me, you know, I'm happy supporting them.
Level out.
Yeah. So I've been doing that. And like I said, I've been watching a lot of movies, listening to a lot of metal. Mm-hmm. I'm building a gym in my garage, so I've been working on that, doing a lot of work around the house, just staying busy. Work's been kicking my ass, too, same as everybody else.
Yeah.
Just a lot going on.
Work has been definitely kicking my ass this week. I will say what I'm watching right now, I was trying to find something to, you know, I watch like series when I'm working, and I don't know why I came to this, but I started watching Veep. Has anybody else watched it?
I watched season one a long time ago.
I don't really like political comedies.
See, I don't like, which is weird. I don't like political in real life, but I like political shows like that. Like I'm really enjoying Veep. It's really well written and just a lot of fun. And I mean Anna Chlumsky, I can't even say her name, from My Girl. You remember that movie My Girl from the '80s?
Yeah, I know the movie. Yeah, I don't know her name.
She was one of the she was the girl. She's in here, man. It's a good show, and it has one of the dudes from Arrested Development, and it's just a funny show. There's a lot of guest stars on this show for sure, but it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying that. What else did I watch? You guys all have Disney Plus, right?
Yep.
Have you anybody on here watched the series Earth to Ned?
I watched the first episode, maybe the first two. It is really weird, and I did not much care for it.
Oh, dude.
I thought it was actually really fun.
Me too. We love it, man.
Yeah, for a kids' like talk show featuring some really good animatronics,
the animatronics are amazing.
They're not like animatronics; they're puppets, dude. It's made by the Muppet Company.
Right. There's robotics and shit going on.
I'm sure, modern puppets, but
They looked amazing, but the. Like, I don't know, maybe it was just the first episode. Like, the pacing was really weird.
The first episode is the weakest episode.
The pacing's really weird, and, like, I didn't feel like the jokes landed.
They just released a bunch of new episodes, maybe in the past few weeks, or new guest stars. It's just funny when they bring guest stars on, and they sort of, like, beam them on board, and they're all really accepting, like, real quick, like, oh, I'm on a spaceship.
Is it like Space Ghost Coast to Coast, but for kids?
I don't really know if it's for kids, really. I mean, it's not super of adult humor, but you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Ziltoid. And the main guy, I guess his name is Ned. Do you remember the character? Oh, I can't think of his name now. It's the comedian. I'm drawing a mind, like my mind is blank here. He's from Three Amigos. My mind is like fucking blank.
Three Amigos.
Martin
Short. Thank you. The character he did where he would interview people in the fat suit.
Oh, Jiminy Glick.
Jiminy Glick. Thank you. That's who the main interviewer guy, the big alien, reminds me of. If you listen to his vocals and his like cadence, like they're just pulling Jiminy Glick here. So We enjoy it. We watch an episode here and there. We've also started watching Big Mouth on Netflix. Have you seen that show?
My wife just watched that whole series.
I haven't seen the most recent season, but I saw all the rest of it. It's pretty good.
We're still in the first season. It's funny.
My wife's college education was in developmental psychology, particularly sexual development.
Oh yeah.
So like she was really into the show.
The humor and the way they tackle the everything. It's very much like a South Park, but sometimes they take it to a different level. You know what I mean? I like it.
I haven't seen any of it, so I can't comment on it. But she watched the whole thing and really liked it.
It has its moments. I think it's pretty inconsistent throughout. But like when it's really good, it's really good, and when it's terrible, it's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I could see that. One of the movies I watched recently is Love and Monsters on George's recommendation, actually. And guess what? I actually really liked it. So
A great movie.
Good on you, man.
Because I'm usually right.
Okay? No, we're not going to go that far. But yeah, it was really good. The CGI was cool. The story was great. I want to see that in a video game format. That'd be a lot of fun to play through. So speaking of video games, I finally went back into Last of Us 2. I was maybe only like 3 or 4 hours into the game. Holy crap. Has anybody played that game yet?
No, I have not played it yet.
It is such a gut-wrenching, narrative-driven, amazing experience. There's parts in that game you cannot believe what they were doing.
I've heard a mixed response of how people like it, though.
I know that's what I like about it. There's portions of the first portion of the game, you're playing one character, and then like it's sort of like you see how things are playing out from two different characters that are, you know, going against each other, how their stories play out, and you sort of in the beginning you're sort of like, okay, she's definitely the antagonist. She's the bad person. And then you start playing that character later in the game and you realize they start explaining to why she's doing the things that she does. And you become, you know, starting to like that character. It's very interesting how they can play with your mind in that game. The gameplay is still not great. It feels like a collect-a-thon. You're like, oh, I have to find bullets and pieces to upgrade everything, like, everywhere you're at. But it's such a beautiful game, and it's such an amazing emotional experience, too. If you haven't played it, I definitely recommend it.
I plan on playing it. It's just...
you have it?
I was going to wait till it goes... No, I was going to wait till it goes on sale.
Well, I've beat it. Next time we see each other, I'll let you borrow it.
All right, sounds
How about
good.
That? We'll put it on your library
How
card.
How about that?
How about that?
Can we backtrack for a second? Because there's
I said
I watched a lot of movies, but I haven't really talked about any of them specifically. But there was a couple that I watched that I wanted to at least mention. Has anybody seen Psycho Goreman yet?
I want to.
I might watch this.
I'm
renting it this weekend.
Me too.
Okay, it's like just balls to the wall crazy and fun. It's like a Power Rangers villain. Just showed up on Earth one day and started killing people.
I saw a trailer for this last year or the year before that, and it came out in Fantastic Fest last year.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to watch it, but then Fantastic Fest got canceled and all that shit. But I've been really excited to watch it, so I'm glad to hear that it's good.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about things that are so much better than they have any right to be. That's one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
okay.
It's really cheesy, really low production value, but like... All the gimmicks work super well. It's almost like Troma made a movie about a Power Ranger villain.
That's cool.
But I love it. I thought it was a blast. And then Saint Maud, I finally got around to seeing. That was my most anticipated movie for last year that I never got to see.
So what is that?
Yeah, it's an A24 film. It's their most recent horror film release. And it's about a nurse who starts having visions one day. She lost a patient that she cared deeply for, and then she decides she can't be a nurse anymore, so she becomes like a hospice sort of nurse, like she's a caretaker for this old woman.
Yeah.
And as it's going along, she starts having these hallucinations and visions, and she can't really tell what's reality and what's not. She thinks the voice of God is speaking to her, and she starts having stigmata and all kinds of weird things occurring. And it's kind of a hard movie to explain because it makes you question like whether it's a mental illness she has or whether it's reality.
Oh.
And
also, don't spoil it.
Yeah, the ending is shocking. I'll just leave it at that. It's not the best A24 movie I've ever seen, but I'd put it real high up there on the list.
Where is this available at?
It just released today for streaming. I believe it's on like Epics.
Okay.
But it's going to be released on Blu-ray and DVD next month. I think on the 4th or so. But yeah, I'm definitely going to get a copy when it's available. It's great.
Okay.
And then the last movie I watched recently that I want to talk about was Synchronic. George and I were briefly speaking about that before the show started. It's a movie about a drug that when you take it, you teleport back in time.
Cool.
And it lasts for a certain period of time. Like there's all kinds of rules associated with the drug, but basically there's these EMTs and they keep finding these bizarre death cases where people are like stabbed by an antique sword or some guy just shows up and he's been eaten half by an alligator, you know, like a rare snake that shouldn't exist in Louisiana is in Louisiana for some reason. And somebody got bit by it and died, but they can't find the snake. They're just finding all this crazy stuff. And every time they go to a site, Anthony Mackie's in it. His character finds like, you know, a drug wrapper for the drug Synchronic. So he starts doing his own investigation to try to figure out what it is. And, his partner's daughter ends up being a victim of the drug, except she doesn't follow the rules of it and gets trapped back in time. So he keeps trying to figure out a way to take the drug and go back in time and save her. And, it's kind of complicated to try to explain something you definitely got to watch, but it's a really, really great and unique and fun and interesting
movie.
That
sounds interesting. Where is that at?
If you have Hoopla, it's for free on Hoopla.
I do have Hoopla.
You can also buy it on Vudu for like $12. That's what I did.
Interesting.
But that one was made by Moorhead and Benson. If you've never heard of them before, they're the guys that are, they're the showrunners for the Moon Knight series that's coming to Disney Plus.
I'm sure that makes you happy.
Yeah, well, I love Moon Knight and I love these guys, so yeah, for sure. But they've done a lot of stuff that I'm a big fan of. They did the movie Spring, which I love, and The Endless, and they also did a movie called Retribution or something. I can't remember the name of it, but I haven't seen that one. But the three that I have seen of the four they've made, I've enjoyed. So
Synchronic, interesting.
Highly recommend Synchronic. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's really good. I really do think out of all of their movies, this is probably the most accessible movie. Even though it's still heavily rooted in that law, like somewhat arty farty moments,
where they try to
show you what's going on instead of telling you what's going on.
Yeah, is it better than the Anthony Mackie movie they had on Netflix where he's like the android, the war movie that came out like last month?
The one that's on Netflix right now.
Yeah, I watched that.
Seen that one, but I did. I've seen the trailer.
It was meh.
It was meh. Well, most of Netflix movies are trash anyway, so.
Right. And they have a new one coming out every month or every week or something like that. All right, guys.
That's why most of them are trash.
Yeah.
Have you watched Tentacles yet, George, on Hulu?
Tentacles?
Yeah, it's the new End of the Dark Blumhouse movie on Hulu.
No, like I said, I haven't really been watching a whole lot. Just, like, I watch my daily WandaVision on Friday and then I'll watch a movie or two during the weekend, and before I know it, I have to go back to work. So.
Is everybody caught up on WandaVision? Did everybody watch it?
I haven't watched the one that came out today.
Okay.
Yep, I'm caught up.
George?
I was so close to dropping that show altogether, but
what?
They pulled me back in with the fourth episode. So.
All right.
Same here. I did not like the first three episodes at all. I know everybody loved it.
Not everybody loved it.
It's been a very polarizing show for a lot of people. I loved it. I am a huge Vision fan. You guys know that.
You're a big fan of sitcoms in general.
I am. That true.
Way more than George and I are.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Nick at Night, and I loved it.
Oh yeah, me too.
But the problem with the WandaVision, at least the first three episodes, is that it gives you, it's more of a shtick than an actual show, and it doesn't really give you anything to like really care about.
it barely advances the plot. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Every episode is a standalone, like, cutesy story where things happen, but nothing's really advancing the plot until episode four.
Exactly.
And I mean, I know they needed at least a couple episodes to establish that she was making it into a TV show, but I feel like there could have been a better way to do it.
Exactly. They could have done what they did with episode four, which is a half and half, where you just where they show you a little bit of the episode and bring you.
I didn't think they wanted to. They didn't do that, and because they didn't want to play their cards too early, they didn't want to show you what was really going on. They wanted you to get into this world, and then.
No, but what they think, what they thought is, they thought their mystery is more compelling than what was really
I agree with George on this, but it's the same thing as The Mandalorian. It's like all the filler episodes.
Don't agree with George.
Disney keeps selling these shows with, this has to be 10 episodes or this has to be 12 episodes, but it's like stories they could easily tell in 5 or 6.
WandaVision shouldn't have been a show. It should have been if it was going to be a show, it could have been like a two-parter miniseries or something like that.
You're wrong there, dude.
1.5-hour episodes.
I'm glad your audio is breaking up.
I'm not wrong, and most of the WandaVision is all filler until like episodes 4 and probably this new episode.
No, the new episode's great, actually. Yeah. The new episode is a lot of stuff happening.
It really is. We watched it before we recorded, so.
I feel like it could have been, there's a lot of fat that could have been trimmed. It's the same thing as Mandalorian. Like, there's parts that are great in it, and there's a lot of stuff that's just filler.
Speaking of fat they trimmed.
Mandalorian would have made a great video game instead of a TV show, in my opinion.
Well, they had the Bounty Hunter game back in the day with Jango.
Shadows of the Empire?
No. There was a Bounty Hunter video game on the PS2.
I thought it was on the N64.
No, it was a PS2 game.
That was Shadows of the Empire, the N64 one.
The whole multimedia thing.
That was Boba Fett, I think. Maybe.
Shadows of the Empire was
a brand new character.
Dax Rendar was the main character in that
there
one.
There you go.
But wasn't Boba Fett one of the main villains or something? Like, I know he played a major role. I can't remember.
No. Dax Rendar was the protagonist. The villain was something with an X. His name starts with an X.
Zizor.
Something like
Prince,
that. Yeah.
Prince Zizor. Xizor, something like that.
Yeah.
I still have the action figures from that.
It's been like 25 years since I played it, so I don't really remember.
Yeah. I actually from the game they own on Steam now. It was on sale for like $1.50. I bought it. I don't know when I'm going to play it again.
His spaceship was like half of the version of the Millennium Falcon, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
It looks like half of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And he had really big shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dash Rendar, right? Man, they should bring that character into canon. That'd be great. All right.
At least we're a split house on WandaVision.
We are definitely a split house. We're the house of M. I made this comment last time when Matt Harvey was on. I was like, do you think this would have been a better show if they released all the episodes at one time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
we're all in agreement there.
Yeah.
It doesn't work as a weekly episode.
The mystery that they built in the center of this story is not interesting.
Sure. Okay. It just doesn't work as a...
I mean, it's not that it's not interesting. It's just that it's so painfully obvious what it is. Like, everybody knows Vision died. Everybody knows Wanda's powers. It's not hard to put 2 and 2 together what is happening. Mm-hmm. So it's just not as clever as they think
it really, is. Like, in this new episode that came out this week, they really explain a lot of stuff that a lot of people have like been talking about, like, you know, fan theories and all that kind of stuff.
The only thing they really do is, like, showcase just how powerful Wanda is, mm-hmm. which is something they needed to do for her future in the Marvel Universe. But they didn't really explain anything that wasn't already understood. Everything was obvious.
I'm trying not to spoil anything, right? But there is points in this episode from this week where, like, you're all caught up from last week, right? With the special guest at the end.
Yeah, I saw that.
So they really go into that in this episode.
The recasting of her brother, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll talk about it more once you guys have seen it. I don't want to spoil anything for you guys.
Okay.
But what I do want to spoil is The Mandalorian. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about cancel culture in geekdom right now. We'll be right back.
And in metal.
And in metal, that's true.
Or metal adjacent, at least.
Rock. All right, my friends, welcome back to the show. We wanted to take this topic section of the show and talk about what's going on in geekdom right now, and even in like the rock and metal world. It's the whole cancel culture that's going on right now, and it's some of it is definitely worth it. So let's talk about first the one that just broke a couple days ago. That
you just felt like pissing people off today, didn't you, Gary?
What's that?
You just felt like pissing people off today, huh?
Why not?
Because you're going to. It doesn't matter what you're about to say. You're about to piss somebody off.
I know.
At least half the people.
It's true. We're gonna try to make this discussion as non-political as we can. But that might be a difficult endeavor to actually hit. Let's talk about The Mandalorian and Gina Carano. What? What do you mean who?
Who are we talking about?
Gina Carano.
Gina Trashbag Carano? Oh, I know her. Yeah.
Oh, you know her. Okay. So everybody out there know that I was brought up in a Judaic household. So I actually had personally family members in the Holocaust who actually died in concentration camps and all that kind of stuff. So this one really hit for me. Basically, I don't know the whole story of everything here, so we are flying by the seats of our pants here for a little bit of it. I know she posted, I saw the meme where she basically compared the way the Republicans are being treated to the Holocaust. And she quickly took that meme down, but you know, it's the internet. Everything lasts forever on there. Nothing you say is gone. And Disney fired her basically
But it wasn't just that. No, I mean, she also posted a lot of extremely transphobic things.
Transphobic. Yeah. She was anti-mask and a lot of that kind of stuff.
She just spouts bullshit. She's just a fucking idiot. Like, she tanked her own career.
She's a racist, trash bag human of a being.
Agreed. Yeah. Number
good
one.
Fucking riddance.
I agree on that. Number one, if you're a celebrity, how easy is it to not fucking post racist things on your social media?
Ask the former president.
Well, true. We're not talking about that guy, that douche. But, I mean, you can think whatever the fuck you want. There's freedom of speech or freedom of thought, whatever, all that kind of stuff. But once you start putting it out there and getting your weird opinions in your anti-Semitic, your racist, your all these just things that are despicable in the world and putting it out there for people to see, you deserve what you fucking get. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think the world in general is tired of not holding people accountable for shit.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, if you're a public figure in any kind of capacity, you can't be spouting hate speech. You know, it all boils down to hate speech. Because, I mean, you know, whether it's racist or, you know, bigotry or, you know, anti-Semitism or hatred for women, or it doesn't matter what it is. You know, if you're spouting any sort of hate speech or endorsing it in any way, it's going to negatively affect you. Like, and it should. It absolutely should. Like, well, I don't agree with all the cancel culture, because there's some people that genuinely do not deserve the way they've been treated for some of the things, because there's a lot of room for interpretation. But when there's a cut and dry incident like these things, like there's no redeeming Gina Carano. She said some heinous shit and she needs to go.
She needs to pay for her indiscretion. I'll say, I saw a post, something that Disney Plus posted on, like, and it was like a sponsored post, and I clicked on it and I started looking through the comment. Half the people were like, oh fuck, cancel Disney Plus because, you know, what they did, they fired Gina Carano and all these, and it's like, really?
Ted Cruz backed him up.
I know, I saw that.
They're gonna form some kind of like anti-justice league.
You
saw what she was doing. I posted about it. Y'all saw that, right? What she's doing now?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, she's making a movie now.
She's gonna make a movie with Ben fucking Shapiro.
Oh, like, God, like, really?
Ben, I'm so dry for you.
Jesus.
So, there's a difference.
Go ahead, George.
So, yes, there is freedom of speech, and you are free to think whatever you want. But that doesn't, like, you're not allowed. She works for fucking Disney, right? She's employed by Disney.
And right.
Believe it or not, whether you like to admit it or not, you're a representative
yes.
at all times of that brand. And the moment you start, you know, start spouting some shit that your boss is not going to like.
Yes.
They're going to fucking drop you.
And that's not. Story. And I'm appreciative of what Disney did. They did the right thing. But that's anybody that works for a company and you go on your social media, you start spouting hate speech and you're and it comes back to your company or your boss or whatever. They have every right to disassociate with you and fire your ass.
That's what I was going to bring up. I was going to say I've never had a job where I couldn't get fired for posting some bullshit on the internet.
Right,
exactly.
I've never had that job. That job doesn't exist for normal people.
Or anyone.
No.
That's what I'm saying. That, like, this whole thing that, like, oh, the people are getting fired for expressing their personal opinions on social media. It's like, yeah, every fucking day, every day, everybody, like, anywhere, yeah. people get fired for posting stupid stuff online. And now we're just saying, cool, you too, then. You can get fired for expressing these heinous things online.
Well, exactly right.
Like George was saying, like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, the company sees you as representing who they are.
Yeah.
And so, sorry.
If you have a social presence and you're working for a company, they have every right to fire you if you are going to bring any kind of like negativity or bigotry or any of that kind of stuff.
Do you remember that stuff that happened with James Gunn like last year?
Right.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even say that stuff. That was stuff before he even got hired by Marvel.
Right. That
was taken out of context too.
And it was completely taken out of context and was still fired even though it was retracted later.
Wasn't that fired when he was working with Troma still was I remember mm-hmm. when he talked about it when we saw him live.
And on top of that, he was super apologetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still, like Justin said, taken out of context. And the only reason he was fired because there was a big, massive group behind Disney that was pushing Disney to do it.
You know, people are capable of change, too. Like, I mean, even like as a perfect example, I know we said we're going to get political, but he's the first person that pops in my head. Biden, he said some things that were very oppositional to black progress, you know, back in the day. But he's since changed his stance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can change, and as long as they admit that the things they said before, you know, sure. are not the way they feel anymore.
People can learn and grow. That's definitely true.
And I mean, you have to give people room for that. But I mean, you can't, you know, come out and say it, and then 3 weeks later say you redacted it and you were wrong. Like you got to have time to actually, contemplate it and make that realization.
Go ahead, Dave.
I think that's a key distinction in what I mean. The current scenario we're talking about is. This wasn't a situation where like something got dug up out of the past and was blown up and she wasn't given a chance to give comment on it. She gave comment on it. Her comment on it was
doubled down on that comment.
She doubled down it on every point. She doubles down at every point. And so it's like, okay, you know, you could have not been a heinous person, but you decided to go full heinous.
Cool. And we talked about the Mandalorian earlier where her character ultimately doesn't matter. They can go on totally without her quickly. There's no need to replace her. No need to recast her.
Have a comment. Bill Burr just has to show up and say, "Hey, did you hear her ship blew up?"
Like, yeah.
And that's it. That's the end of it. Like,
ride her out super quickly. You're
on
done.
On top of that, like her character was just fucking boring anyway. Mm-hmm. So goodbye. You will not be missed from Star Wars.
No.
I don't know. The only thing that I really truly disagree with in the whole cancel culture mindset. Is guilt by association.
Mm.
Like black metal is a perfect scapegoat for this topic because there's so many like Polish and German black metal bands that have Nazi ties and Nazi outlooks and make songs about racism and shit. And we've talked about this before where a lot of other bands that have performed with those guys or, you know, are friends with people in the band or grew up with people in the band, they get criticized and their bands get, you know, slandered just because they're somehow loosely connected to the Nazi movements. It's, you know, in no way am I defending Nazis, but I mean, if person A grows up with person B and they've been childhood friends since they were 4 years old, you know, and they both started black metal bands and one of them's in a band that's normal and the other one's in an NSBM band, you know, you can't really hold person A accountable for person B's choices.
There's also the issue, and all forms of extreme art, mm-hmm. which I wouldn't say all black metal is, but there certainly is a lot of black metal throughout its history that has been an extreme art form. And anytime you're dealing with that, you're going to be dealing with subject matter that in and of itself is probably going to be offensive to people. And so I think that kind of like what you're saying, Justin, there's kind of a guilt by association. I think there's a lot of nuance in some artwork. There's a lot of nuance that mm-hmm. can easily be missed. That, I mean, there are clearly black metal bands that are just straight up Nazis.
Mm-hmm. But
then there are black metal bands that talk about fascist ideology or politics or whatever, but aren't necessarily endorsing it. That's a different thing.
And then like Hard Carry for the Sky, you know, I'm a huge fan of theirs. You know, their new album's coming out. They had a guest vocalist on one of their tracks scheduled, and she was part of one of those NSBM bands. And once there was public outcry about it, they were like, we were unaware of her political views. You know, we just knew her from the community and we wanted her to participate because we like her voice. Hmm. But of course, we're not going to include her now that we're aware of this stuff. You know, and their stuff is not built around fascism or anything. Most of their songs are about loneliness and despair and, you know, typical black metal shit.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah. And I mean, bands can make mistakes. People can make mistakes. You know, yeah. I hate it when people don't do the research to actually look at who's being accused of shit to find out if they're actually guilty or if they're just guilty by association.
Right. And you have a choice. I mean, I personally will not listen to an NSBM band because of those reasons. No matter if they're good or not, I just don't want to do it. I mean, when people are like, oh, all these bands are, you know, like Slayer, they've written songs about Nazis, but it's more of a narrative driven thing. You know what I mean? Some of these other bands, you know, no, it's not narrative driven. It's just what they believe, and that's fine. They can believe whatever they want as long as it doesn't, you know, really cause major problems.
As long as they're not idealizing the same things that the Nazis stand for or talking about it. You can definitely write a narrative driven album and talk about, you know, the evils and atrocities of the Holocaust, you know, without actually doing anything that endorses their platform.
Exactly. Cause it happened. It's a bad time in history, but it was real. It happened. I mean, you can't deny it. You can't be a Holocaust denier. You know what I mean? You can't compare them to the Republicans either. Through what happened to the millions of people that died in the Holocaust, the way the Republicans are being treated.
People who still have significant political power and who, when they say they're being silenced, like you can find them talking about how they're being silenced fucking anywhere you look. You're fucking not being silenced. You're not.
Right.
I'm just a whiny bitch.
You're a whiny bitch.
And on the, so as we're talking, go ahead.
On that point.
Yeah.
Let's clarify this real quick. People getting fired is a violation of their First Amendment rights. That is some horse shit. Read the fucking First Amendment. Who does it apply to? It applies to the fucking government. The government can't put you in jail for saying some shit.
Exactly. Right?
Your boss can still fucking fire your ass, though.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the next, you know, I think a lot of this, you know, like, you know, you've got to be responsible for what your actions are and what you've done in life. All started with like Bill Cosby. When that shit sort of bubbled up with him, everybody's like, that whole Me Too movement started, which is great. People started coming up about stuff and weren't afraid anymore. And don't be afraid if you know somebody's doing shady shit in the world. Don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's happening with, you know, every kind of aspect of, be it music or be it like geekdom or movies and stuff like that. I mean, right now it's happening to both Joss Whedon and Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happened everywhere. I mean, look at Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Like, he's a perfect example. Like, I mean, it's great that people are coming forward and actually calling these people out for their bullshit.
Yeah.
But it would be so much better if people just stopped being such shitty human beings.
Hey. That would be amazing. That's not going to happen, though. Unfortunately, I deal with shitty human beings every day, and it's not going to happen. Dave, do you know much about the Marilyn Manson story that's going on right now?
I know I know a little bit. I know what kicked it off, and I know what some of the allegations were, and I know that there's been like a fucking trainload of people yeah. who have come in for the fact and been like, yep, that sounds like my personal experience or the experience of people that I know, or I, you know, there were, I mean, there were other women who are coming out and saying this happened to me as well.
And past band members are coming out saying he was a douche.
There are other musicians coming out and being like, yeah, this is not inconsistent with what I saw when yeah. I worked with it. Yeah.
And which is fucked up because like in the past week, I saw this article that his streams and his record sales were up because that of this shit.
That doesn't surprise me. No press is bad press.
It's true.
But well, I mean, I think he took that to the extreme too. I mean, his whole thing has always been to shock people as much as he could, you know? And I mean, I've watched documentaries about when he was working with Trent Reznor way before he actually became Marilyn Manson. And I mean, you know, he was a quiet, timid kid. And then once he, you know, built this persona, I think he really just started living it. So he started becoming less human as it went along. And I think that's that happens to people when they achieve that level of celebrity.
Makes sense.
Do you guys want to talk about Joss Whedon a little bit? Because I'll preface this. I don't know a lot about it because I haven't read the whole article, but I know my wife is a huge Buffy nerd and she is a fan of Joss Whedon's work.
I mean, Whedon's a little bit different because it's not sexual assaults. It's not.
It's mental, isn't it?
Hate speech. It's just mental terrorism. Like he berates his actors and he screams at people and he treats them like dirt and he's very demanding to the point where it's completely unfair.
He's giving him the Kubrick.
Yeah, pretty much. But they can't handle it because they're all.
But not as talented as the problem.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, it's not right. You know, if you're employing these people to put on performance for you, you should at least treat them well. But like, I don't think that Joss Whedon should be canceled. I think he should take a hard look at all these people saying you're a shitty director who treats us all terribly
and change his fucking world.
Anger issues and try to do better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the approach he should take. I think he should try to become a better, more compassionate person.
Yeah.
And then he'll still have a career. Like there's still room for salvation for him. Mm-hmm. But like some of these people, obviously there's not.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I mean, he just needs to take a look at how he is viewed and treating people, and that can change. You know,
yeah.
Everybody has an anger problem. Everybody has tempers. Everybody can be pushed over the edge by pressure and stress and all this kind of stuff. But you also got to know in your own mind how to handle that and how to treat other people in the world that you're dealing with. You know what I mean? I agree. He can get out of this, but because I enjoy his stuff. But I don't know. What do you say, George?
I don't know how to fall on this without sounding like a.
But just
I don't want
be yourself. People will understand that you're a dick.
So, well, I mean, look, I don't care if people think I'm a dick. But the truth is, Joss Whedon's always been an egotistical maniac. Ever since he had fanboys and fangirls fawn over him, he took that and says, "Oh, I can pretty much do whatever I want." And he just rah-rah-rahs the crowd behind him, and it becomes an echo chamber, and it kind of gives him this, like, oh, it's okay to do what I do. And now people are starting to turn the tide on and realize, like, shit, am I the asshole? And turns out he is. Just like Zack Snyder. Snyder's the same shit.
I mean, this is nothing new with that. And we're talking about, like, directors and stuff like that. This is nothing new. Like, you mentioned Kubrick before, and there's been directors all through the ages that have let this go to what's up?
There's a lot of directors that can be very demanding of their actors, I think, but there's a distinction between being very demanding and just being, you know, a maniac who screams all the time.
Yeah,
like, I mean, if anger issues are at the core of Joss's problems, like, that's something he can get treatment for, that's something he can work on improving. It's not necessarily about him being a demanding director, because if he wasn't a demanding director, then some of his material wouldn't be as good as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think people care so much that he's a harsh director. I think they just care that he mistreats people.
Yeah.
And like I said, he can improve that.
Wow. So
doesn't he have like a TV show coming out soon that he was a showrunner and
he was
fired from?
The Others or something like that.
And he got fired from that show, right? From his own show.
I don't know the story
because of his attitude on set.
I don't know the story on that one. That could be. I know he was attached to it originally. It's like one of his ideas, one of his babies, you know. But
yeah,
the Endeavor, is that what it's called? What's it called? The voice from the other room. Come here. The Nevers. That's what it's called. It was originally going to be a comic book. It's his baby, and did he start working on it? Or did it get taken away from him? He started working on it and writing, but the implementation of the creating the series was taken away from
him. Yeah, because, you know.
But most likely it was.
He's saying he stepped away, but.
He got fired.
It's probably after the Justice League shit broke, you know?
Yeah. Also, there was that thing with the guy who plays Cyborg. Didn't he have a lot of shit to say about the Joss Whedon and the producers there?
I know there was a bunch of shit. I don't know if you ever called out Joss Whedon, though. I'm not 100% on that. Does anybody else know?
No idea.
I know the Ray with the Ray Fisher, right?
Yeah, the guy. I don't remember the kid's name, but he played a Cyborg.
Right.
Speaking of Justice
League, it was Ray Fisher.
Yeah. What are you gonna say, George?
Did y'all see that picture of that of Jared Leto as the Joker?
Yes.
So in passing, I saw it. I really thought, like, oh shit, Jared Leto's gonna play the Crow.
Yeah.
What
I
made
a closer look, and I was like, oh no, that's the Joker.
I posted it in a Metal Geek Society on our Facebook group, and I made the like comparing him to, like, the Cure, you know, the Robert Smith from the Cure. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
What happened to all those tattoos that he had in the movie or whatever? You know,
that movie doesn't exist in this universe, and plus. If I remember correctly, reading the post on Deadline, they were saying that it's going to take part of a sequence where it's a nightmare sequence Batman's having.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Because it's true, him and Batman have never actually, that version of the Joker and the current version of Batman have never.
Yeah, so Zack Snyder said directed. The only.
No, they did in Suicide Squad in one scene.
Did they?
Did they really? They were had the scene.
I put that movie out of my mind. I don't remember.
Yeah, they have a scene in Suicide Squad, but it's very small. It's when Joker and Harley are driving away in the car, and Batman lands on top of the car, confronts him.
Oh, I think
I
remember that.
Say anything to him, does he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Batman. He doesn't have to say anything. He just looks at him.
But anyway, Zack Snyder said, wouldn't it be cool if I had Joker in my movie? And so, therefore, Jared Leto put on makeup.
What do y'all think about the director's cut of that movie? Snyder cut.
Who cares?
Could not possibly care less.
Exactly. I'm going to watch it just out of like sheer curiosity. And
I won't.
Morbid curiosity, more like it.
But isn't it supposed to be like 5 episodes or something like
that? It's like 5 hours long.
5 hours?
Four and a half hours long.
Oh, okay, I'm out then.
Jesus. It's a TV show.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. Like I watch every superhero, anything that comes out. Even if it's terrible. So I'll watch it day one, but I don't really like have any enthusiasm for it or anything. It's just something I'm going to do.
Yeah. All right.
We'll wait for Justin's callback to let us know how it goes.
I probably will watch it too, just so I can have some kind of like idea so I can talk about it at least. Like I said earlier, I don't really want to spoil WandaVision, but something came into my mind. I just saw it. There was a nice Kick-Ass reference in this episode from the movie Kick-Ass.
Yeah, there was.
I was like, oh, that's amazing. Because if you remember in the movie Kick-Ass, Evan Peters was the best friend of Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Wasn't Aaron Taylor in Kick-Ass?
He was Kick-Ass.
He was Kick-Ass, yeah.
So Aaron Taylor Johnson, I want to say Thomas, was...
Everybody's seen the promotional material for this episode. You know that Vision is wearing his classic 60s costume.
It's all Halloween day, basically.
Yeah.
They're all in costumes.
Evan Peters makes a Kick-Ass joke.
Actually,
to the Vision.
Wanda. She says a Kick-Ass joke to him later. After he walks away at one point.
Away, you're right. It was Wanda. Yeah.
So, which is funny because, like, in Kick-Ass, the guy who played Quicksilver in the MCU universe was Kick-Ass, and his best friend, Evan Peters, was Quicksilver in the X-Men universe. So I didn't realize that. I totally forgot about that until tonight, too. I was like, holy shit, that's right.
Yeah.
So a nice meta little joke there.
Meta.
Let's end our negativity on that positive note. We're going to get into...
I mean, WandaVision, I wouldn't call it positive now.
Oh, okay, shut up, dude. On that end, we're going to make you listen to a metal song as punishment. But you might like it. You might like it this time. We're going to get into a band for George Hates Metal. It's called Angelus Apatrida. They're from Spain. I personally think you might dig this. So we're going to let you listen to it, and we're going to be right back.
Angels Up a Tree.
Angels Up a Tree.
Angels of... What now?
Is that... Okay. Is that, your head hurts now.
That was some music for me to listen to, I guess. What did we think about that, you guys?
What a great introduction back to the show, man. I'm glad I asked you to do that. So welcome back to the show, my friends. This is the part of the show that I think George secretly loves and dreams about at night. This is
so much.
This is George Hates Metal. And I tried to give you a little bit of an easier one tonight because I know your musical style when it comes to metal. This is a band from Spain. They've been around for a while. They're called Angelus Apatrida.
That was absolutely perfect pronunciation.
I appreciate that. I am from Spain, so you know. This album just came out last month, I believe, in this past month. It's a killer fucking thrash metal album. The song I picked for you to talk about is called Childhood's End. And the lead vocalist is definitely pulling his inner Chuck Billy out when he's singing in this song, for sure.
Oh, you should be careful about doing that.
It could hurt. Depends where you're pulling it out from.
You might get canceled. You know?
That's true. So, all right, let's start with George. What did you think about this track?
It was okay. I would probably have to listen to it again to, I don't know, get a full grasp on it, but for the most part it was okay.
But you like Testament, right? Which surprised me when you talked about that.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I don't know if I'm really sold on the singer's voice, so.
Okay. I think you will do me a favor, just listen to the album once, and if you don't dig it after that, perfectly fine, but just, you know, give it a shot.
Is it fine, Kara? Because you have this look like it's not fine.
I'm perfectly okay with it.
This is secretly Carrie's favorite band of all time.
And no, it's not. I just recently discovered them.
Shitting all over it.
I just recently discovered them, so it's okay. That's the problem about doing these streams where we can see each other. You can see me. You can see my face.
That is the problem.
That is a problem.
that is a common problem. Oh, man. That was a good burn. Not as good as the burn earlier, but that was still good.
All right. I'm gone. Bye.
This has been Carrie's TED Talk. He's leaving for the evening.
All right. All right, Dave, what did you think about the song?
It was pretty cool. It sounds like something I'll need to listen to more of. Mm-hmm. It's not like immediately the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, but I agree.
Like, it's decent. It's definitely listenable.
It's just good thrash metal. This song that I picked, the beginning portion of it, it's super fast. Just really, really fast picking. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of a mixed vibe from everybody. Like the music itself was great. I really enjoyed the instrumental part. Not really digging the guy's voice.
You're not a
That's how I felt.
You're not a thrash guy though. I know that, Justin.
But I don't dislike thrash. It's just not my preferred subgenre. You know, I mean, occasionally I'll find a thrash album that I really enjoy. This just isn't it.
You like blackened thrash.
I like blackened anything.
Even fish. It's true. I'm digging this album. It's not my, I don't think it's going to like hit my top albums of the year or anything, but, I thought it was a little, you know, nice little throw over to George to see what he thought about it. I think you will dig it more if you give it a shot.
If you can pronounce the name and find it again on a Spotify.
That's right.
I won't be able to find it again.
He listened to it once. Maybe he'll pull it back up. So let's take a few moments. Let's talk about what we have been listening to on our accounts. What's been digging? What's been really going through your mind? What's your favorite albums right now?
Well, I've got the beginnings of my best albums list. The new Sargeist album is fantastic. One of the best black metal albums so far this year. The new Tribulation is great.
Yeah,
there's a band called And Now the Owls Are Smiling. It's somewhere between raw black metal and polished black metal.
Worst band names, man. I don't know how you do it.
I find these bands that are great that just have like weird choices for band names. I don't know why, but these guys are really unique in their black metal sound. I enjoy them quite a bit. I think a lot of people would like them. Starforger is kind of a mix between Norther and Insomnium.
You mentioned that earlier, so I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's melodic death metal. There's a lot of keyboards. I like it. I don't know if it's going to end up in my top 10 or anything, but it's definitely a fun album that deserves some more listens. And that's pretty much the ones I've been listening to the most. There's a couple other ones that I thought were pretty okay, but I don't know if they're going to end up. Like Product of Hate, I don't know if you've heard that yet.
No.
It's It kind of trends towards deathcore in some places, but it's mostly mellow death.
Oh, I did see this on some list. I might have listened to one track from it.
Like, it's great workout music. Yeah. I don't know if I'd listen to it all the time, but like it's real high energy and pretty brutal in some places. So okay. It's worth a listen. I mean, I don't know if everybody will enjoy it that much, but I have it on my continue to listen list. So.
Cool.
That's pretty much it so far. I've still got all of last week's stuff to go through, so I'm not quite current.
Cool. What about you, Dave? What have you been into?
I agree about the new Tribulation album. It's Tribulation being Tribulation, but I feel like they've really gotten their... if you want to call it their formula down.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like the most them thing I think I've heard them do.
I agree. Sean, the Metal Pigeon, and I discussed this on MSRcast last night, and we both feel that once things open up and they're able to tour and get on good tours, they could break like the new, like Ghost could, because they have that.
That's how I discovered them. They were open for Ghost.
Really?
I saw them open for Ghost.
Well, that makes sense then.
But yeah, I like them a lot. There's that new Dalit album,
yes. Moksha. You turned me on to that, and really appreciate it. It's really good.
That is very cool.
It's Dalit, if anybody's in questioning or how to spell that.
Yeah, Dalit, Moksha. And let's see. We've all kind of been talking about this Mestitium EP that I think we all wish was longer.
Yes.
It's good stuff. I wish there was more of it.
It's Mestitium. It's hard to say, but one of my favorite new record labels is Black Lion Records. Meadows End was released in 2019, early or 2018? Yeah, 2018. And they put out quality stuff. And this is one. I wish it was a full length from these guys, because if you're an Insomnium fan, you like that mid-paced, you know, mellow death. This is really, really good.
It's a great EP. I agree with you guys. I wish there was more of it. There's another EP that it would be in my top 10 list for sure if it was a full album.
Yeah.
Atra Vetosis. I posted about them in the Metal Geek Society page. It's only a 3-track EP they put out, but it's fucking gorgeous. Like it's just so many sweeping landscape kind of sounds, and it's black what metal, atmospheric black metal.
Nice.
I love it. It's
what are
fucking
they,
awesome.
What are they called again?
Atra Vetosus, A-T-R-A.
Oh yeah.
V-E-T-O-S-U-S.
Even the dawn no longer brings hope. That's sounds like my up my alley right there.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's just great. I just wish there was more of it.
What else, Dave? Anything else on your list?
See, I'm just seeing what else I've listened to recently. There was that Werewolves album I told you guys about called What a Time to Be Alive, which is just kind of straight ahead riff heavy extreme metal. I listened to it while working out, and that's probably the perfect environment for that.
There you go.
Like I said, I don't think it's going to be like a great release. It's probably not making any lists, but it's a fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Fun, brutal listen. Justin, did you mention Grima when you were talking just a minute ago?
I did not. I accidentally skipped over them. But yeah, yeah, Grima's fantastic. Grima
Rotting Garden is pretty good too.
How do you spell that? What is that?
Grima, like Grima Wormtongue from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, of course you would dig that.
Yeah, it was the first black metal album that made it to my best of list this year. So
I haven't heard it yet.
It's good. It's very good.
I do remember we made some post in the Metal Geek Society, and you said something negative like about Lord of the Rings. And somebody was like,
for you to see if you'd catch it.
Yeah, well, I caught it like right away. I'm like, yeah, I posted like some GIF. I'm like, sure. I remember what it was. It was about that. It was like that image of like which one could you see go with like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
And you said Lord of the Rings, so I'm like, yeah, sure. And somebody in, I think it was Matt Ryan.
It was under a pseudonym.
Yeah,
but I didn't know that at the time. He messaged me afterwards.
Did he?
Yeah,
he's been banned for a while because he starts shit on Facebook all the time. One of our
what?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. If you're part of the Metal Geek Society group, you know this dude. Now he's like Michelle Saint Michael or something like that. He had to beg me. He's like, bring me back into the group. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to. But, yeah, he was like, is Dave serious? I'm like, no, he's not
serious. Start charging him $20 per account.
Yeah, right? Make some money off of this. What about you, George? Anything you've been listening to recently besides Angelus Petita?
Yeah, I've been listening to a couple of things. So John Carpenter's new album came out. I've been listening to that quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Lost Themes 3. I think this is probably the best one because he produced it with his son and his son-in-law.
No. Oh.
And it's probably the best one he's done so far. And then I kind of stumbled upon this metal group called Io Ton.
I was going to mention them. Holy fuck.
And they're pretty great. Like I've listened to what they have available on.
I have the promo for that album. It's coming out on Metal Blade, I believe, the end of this month or early March. It's a really fucking phenomenal album, dude. Really.
Yeah, it's really good. I really liked it. I just kind of came across them by accident, and I really enjoy it.
It's we described them as very they're Bortnagar in essence in a way, but there's a little bit of more black, like, you know, black metal and like a little bit of death metal built into it. I think everybody that's here would really dig them. I'm surprised you mentioned them. I was on my list.
Hey, can surprise everybody.
George doesn't hate metal all the time. Just what all we should.
We should have picked that instead of Angels Go Up the Stairs or whatever it was.
Hey, I did not name the band. All right. So y'all can't make fun of me for that shit.
So the name of the band is Iotun.
Yeah.
Iotunn for people who are listening, and guys, if y'all want to check them out.
Yeah, it's really good. Like
three singles up on Spotify right now. I'll listen to them later.
Yeah, they have a EP album that came out in 2016, which is not bad, but their newer stuff is the best stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. Going through my list, what I've been listening to recently, I've been listening to a little bit more, of course, some Death Doom. So we talked about the Maestitium, the new Ablaze My Sorrow, which is really good. What else was there? I'm digging the new Pounder album. We had Matt Harvey on the show last week, and not blowing smoke up his ass, but I really do dig it.
It's solidly good.
Yeah.
Y'all really pounding it, right?
We are pounding that shit, man. Sorry. Come on. Virtual high five. Come on. There you go.
There we go.
One of my favorite metal albums of the year so far is the solo album from Todd LaTorre. If you guys have not heard this yet, holy crap. It is really... Justin, you are not going to like it. I'll tell you that much now.
Yeah,
Dave is going to dig it. It's really fucking high quality metal. That's all I got to say.
The name of the group is called what now?
What's up, Dave?
Like the Queensryche guy?
The Queensryche guy. He's a current singer for Queensryche. He used to be in Crimson Glory. He's a phenomenal vocalist.
Sounds like hair metal.
It's not hair metal. It's very thrashy. It's
classic metal.
It smells of hair metal.
And not hair metal. It's classic metal. It's trad metal. It's traditional. But there's some really good stuff on this album. Give it a shot. I want to hear what you think about it.
It's called Toddler Story?
Yes. How did you... You got that exactly correct.
Toddler what? What is it called?
Todd. Like, his first name is Todd. Like, the name Todd. And his last name is LaTorre.
LaTorre. I thought you said story. I'm sorry.
That'd be awesome if there's a metal band called Toddler Story, though. That'd be fucking great.
There should be now.
Well, that's the Metal Geeks band from
Goo Goo Gaga.
Don't give them time; they'll make that. Have you guys
that's
heard
the
this
Metal Geeks band name right there?
Have you heard Dread Sovereign yet?
No.
This is the vocalist from Primordial. It's like love letter to different doom metal styles. So there's stuff that's very like, you know, Typo Negative, and there's stuff that's very like there's some Celtic Frost in here. There's all like some Candlemass-ish stuff. It runs the whole gamut of like, you know, just all kind of like, you know, good doom. I think Dave would dig this the most out of anybody here. I know everybody's style.
Check that out. My only problem with this though is you said it's the vocalist from Primordial.
Yeah.
He's my least favorite part of Primordial.
Oh, is he really? Well, you might not like it then. I've been digging this band called Jason Bieler and the Baron von Bielski Orchestra.
Oh my God. Could you come up with a better name? Jesus Christ.
Jason Bieler, do you guys remember who he is at all? Dave at all?
No.
I know of Ferris Bueller.
It's not Ferris Bueller. This guy was the vocalist and guitar player from the band Saigon Kick.
I never listened to Saigon Kick.
You never did. Wow. I know you guys don't know that one song that was on the radio back in the day, but yeah. Check it out. It's pretty interesting. And even
what was their big hit?
Love Is on the Way. It was like an acoustic song.
Love in an Elevator?
Not Love in an Elevator. Love Is on the Way. But yeah, one of the songs has Dave Ellefson and Devin Townsend on it. That's how I, like, oh, I didn't realize they were working together. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, that reminds me of something I need to send to you, Carrie.
Oh, great. What is that?
You remember we were watching the TikTok videos from that guy. His whole bit is like he does interviews of metal bands or whatever. He did one for Devin Townsend.
Oh, great. I have to watch that now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You'll like it.
Nobody's mentioned the new Nervosa yet.
Yeah, that's on my best of list so far, too. It's a good album.
It is a good album.
It sounds like a Harry Potter magic spell.
It could. It'll make you Nervosa. They are...
Guardian Nervosa.
It's an all-female thrash metal band. Where are they from? They're from...
Brazil.
No, Brazil, that's right. They were going to be on some tour that got canceled this past year we were going to see. I can't remember what it was. Might have been... Amorphous. It was Insomnium and it might have been Insomnium.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I dig that album. So yeah. I mean, I do like some thrash, like I was saying, just not all of it.
You like more blackened thrash because that's her more vocal style is more blackened.
That's true.
Yeah. The new Labyrinth, which I hadn't really heard until Sean the Metal Pigeon was like, "Hey, you got to check it out. It's actually really good." And the new Dragon-y album, they're very dragon-ish, pretty good power metal. And the new Asphyx, man,
I listened to that one, and I put
they really put the ass in fix.
They did. They fixed your ass, man.
Seems like that one's been a big hit with a lot of people so far.
It's old school fucking death metal, man. It's really good.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good stuff recently. It's turning in to be a good year, I think.
Starting off better than last year, I think.
Yeah, it is for sure. Like 2020, man, there was nothing good until April.
So it's all downhill from here.
What you're saying, maybe. Yeah, here's that Iotun album right here. If y'all can see it, it's really fucking good.
It's very blurry.
Very blurry.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Whatever.
Guy Rhee is doing a live stream tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow?
First live performance.
When,
yeah, it's tomorrow.
When is that?
I think you didn't say diarrhea, but it definitely
Guy-ria.
Sounds like diarrhea.
It's actually pronounced. It's pronounced Garia.
Yeah,
Garia. But I'm bad at saying that. It's good, like at 1:30 Central Time tomorrow, I believe.
Send me a. Is it free or is it a paid?
It's $10 for a ticket. But
I know they announced. Metal Injection does their monthly live streams, and they announced they're going to be on there next month it's next Friday they're going to be on.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, go check that out. Go to the Metal Injection. It's called the Slay at Home Festival. They'll be doing one every month. It's been pretty cool. Discovered, interesting stuff through there. And they always do – bands always perform, and then they always have, people from different bands performing other songs together, which is sort of cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
Bands on the Run?
They don't do Band on the Run. They do not. No Wings. Not that I've heard yet. All right, so let's move on. Before we get into our geek tickle, I did want to talk about a couple of movie casting things that have happened recently. We talked about one of the games that I just finished was Last of Us 2, and The Last of Us 1 was one of my favorite games of all time. And they've announced the cast for the HBO adaptation of this game. And I don't know if I agree with all the casting.
Okay.
So
what movie are we talking about?
The Last of Us, the HBO series.
Oh, The Last of Us. Yeah. Okay.
So it's sort of early in, I guess, what happens in the games 20 years after everything goes to shit, basically. So I guess Joel has been announced as Pedro Pascal.
Yep.
Everything's coming up Pedro.
It is. Everything is coming up Pedro. Even I don't know if I agree on the casting because I don't see him as Joel.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but Joel is kind of like a Texan Southern dude, right?
From Austin.
Yeah.
Well, Pedro did play that kind of role in Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
I was thinking that too. He played Burt Reynolds in Kingsman.
A cowboy hat. That
but he spoke with like a Southern that. Drawl the whole yeah. time. I mean, he can pull it off. Yeah, he did.
I think
yeah,
he can. Did. It's not my first.
Don't get me wrong, George. I agree with you. Like, I'm not into the Pedro mania or whatever's going on here. Like, I think he's fine as the Mandalorian.
It's just that he's in everything. It's the problem.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. He's okay. He's fine in the Mandalorian.
And then, like, he's playing, like, the same fucking role. Like, he's, like, a father figure to a lost child.
As long as he can find a babysitter, everything will be okay.
Anyway,
I guess.
They're just remaking the game into a show. Is that what I'm understanding?
I mean, they're taking that era, the early part of what happened, but I don't think they're just going to follow the game. I think they're going to come up with their own story, like stuff that happened, you know, when you're not playing. You know, it'd be stupid for them just to follow the narrative of the game for sure.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I'll just play the game again. Just skip on the show if that's the case.
That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, there's a lot of these things that I feel like, especially now that we've entered an era where video games are the quality of the story writing has gotten so good, and the performances, and like this is major media at this point, and I think that there are a number of creators that have gotten a handle on the medium and do it so well that there are video games that function as video games and I don't think function otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that way. I haven't played the second one, but I've played the first Last of Us, and I feel like it's something that works as a video game. Like, it's full of the same kinds of trappings as a lot of movies and TV shows and stuff that we've seen, but I feel like its intended medium is the video game, and that that's where it works best. And so, like, I'm not thrilled about this. I don't, like, I'm not like, oh, sweet, yeah, they're turning it into, I don't care. I don't see it being better. I don't see it doing anything better with the property than what the video game.
Because the video game,
if they took a different approach and, like, if it had the show, and I don't know if this is true yet because the show hasn't come out, but had it been about, like, the creation of the Fireflies or something along that line.
Do something different with it.
Well, like, we don't know. It could be. Well,
I mean, there's always that possibility, but, I mean, as a different perspective than what Dave was saying, I mean, I've always heard people rave about this game, but it's a game that I'll probably never have time to play. You know, I don't own a PlayStation anyway, so it's not even something that I would want to play. Like, I'm not a PlayStation guy. But the story, if the story itself is justifiably good for the hype surrounding it, then converting it to a TV series or a movie is the only way that I would get to experience that story. So, you know, I at least have a passing interest in seeing what it's all about and checking it out just because of how much buzz surrounds the video game. Mm-hmm. But I would never actually play the game myself. So I think there is some merit in converting things like this that are story driven to TV or movies for people like me that have a passing interest but aren't willing to dedicate that kind of time.
That's a fair point.
Fair.
I just think if you really wanted to watch the game, you could just watch a playthrough on YouTube and you'd probably get a better experience.
But that would be like, you know, 17, 18 hours of playthrough versus, it's, you know, an hour 17, a week.
17, 18 hours of a TV show.
Yeah. I mean,
most likely it'll be 10, but yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff they can do with the series. There's a lot of characters that are involved, especially in the second game where it really opens up into enclaves of different people. It's set way after the first game, so everybody's a little bit grown up. I really can't say how much I loved the second game enough. It was really good.
And the TV show has a lot going for it. You know, like the guy, the creator or the writer of the game.
It's Chernobyl, right?
No, that's Craig Mazin. He's the writer of the show. But the writer of the video game is also going to be on as the writing staff and producer as well. Mm-hmm. So at least a guy who created the world or helped create the world will be part
of
the show.
I appreciate that. And Ellie is going to be played by, from Game of Thrones, Bella Ramsey. She was the little girl queen that like kicked everybody's butt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Is she old enough to play the role?
Well, the original game, she was probably about 14. So,
okay.
In the newer game,
she's like a young kid though. Like she's like 10 or something like that.
No, she's a little bit older than that. She looks about the same age. You know.
I mean, season 8 of Game of Thrones was 2 years ago, so she's
that's true too. Okay.
She's probably like 13 or 14
about
now.
When the show came out, so
she was born in 2003.
What a shit show that show was, huh?
So she's actually 18 right now.
Oh.
So, which I believe in the beginning of Last of Us 2, Ellie would have been about 19, almost 20, around that age. So, I don't know.
So, I'm excited to see where they go with it. I might not agree with Pedro Pascal's casting, but maybe he'll surprise me.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it, at least, for sure. It's the other video game I wanted to talk about. Well, this is weird. This is just weird.
It's Mortal Kombat, right?
We can talk about that, but let's talk about Borderlands, man. They're making a Borderlands movie. This is my wife's favorite.
This is another case of what I was just talking about.
Of why?
Why? Like Borderlands is crazy, ludicrous, run and gun. And like so much of the game is about collecting guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not much story. There's a very simplistic story.
Is there even a plot line to Borderlands?
There is, but it's simplistic.
Maybe somebody found the script on a dropped flash drive at the Medieval Times.
You know, but with games,
one person
like,
out there is going to get that joke.
With games like Borderlands and Halo and things like that, that they have a good story, but like it's very simplistic.
There's it's a story these, like, for a video game.
There's all these books and stuff that are built onto it. I mean, you can go out and buy like Borderlands novels that have very detailed stories for all the characters, just like you can with Halo, just like you can with Destiny. Any of these shooter games, all of them have a lot more backstory that's not incorporated into the game. And if you make a movie based on one of those novels, I think it's pretty solid. I mean, it's not a big deal to draw on those characters because it'll get more people excited about the franchise. And then hopefully when, you know, Borderlands 4 comes out and it's massively multiplayer, you know, more people will be involved. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
I just see dollar signs.
I would be more concerned if it was a story I loved about them like doing it wrong than I am about a game that doesn't really have a solid story and them trying to make a movie about it. Like I'm less concerned about that than I would be about something that I truly loved.
And so we've already discussed.
At the same time, though, I see that as kind of. The risk I think of that is that I feel like it maybe gives an excuse to just make it stupid. Like why try to make it good?
We don't know the tone of what they're going for in this movie, but
yeah, that's very true.
Isn't it just like Mad Max on an alien planet? Isn't that what I've been told?
Yeah, pretty much.
Sort of.
Yeah. So speaking of, it's written by the guy you just talked about, Craig Mazin.
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, which is weird. Jesus. We just talked about
the getting all sorts of work. You know, that guy used to make a whole bunch of shit movies, and now he made that one good show, and now everybody wants him.
Chernobyl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I have yet to watch, by the way.
I haven't either. It's being directed by Eli Roth, so they just announced in the past few days Claptrap is being played by Jack Black, which I made that comment a couple weeks ago. I'm like, that should be Jack Black. That'd be perfect casting. And they went with
it's not, it's not a bad choice. It's better than most of the other ones.
Yeah, let's talk about the other one. So Kevin Hart's in it, playing Roland. Kate Blanchett is Lilith, which makes sense.
That one's okay.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is Tannis.
That's okay too. It's really just Kevin Hart. It's such a weird choice because Roland's like a badass, and Kevin Hart's like
I don't remember
a tall pussy.
Which character is Roland? I don't remember quite exactly.
He's
either from.
Ask Kim. She can probably explain.
She's walking in here as I was like, "Who's Roland?" She's like, "I'll tell you."
So Eli Roth directed A House with a Clock in Its Wall.
Yes,
Jack Black and Kate Blanchett as well. So it's probably why they got casted in this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Jack Black is a perfect Claptrap, and that just works. He has to come in and record lines, and he's done. You know what I mean? I mean, I hope it's good.
I just wish they hadn't picked a comedian for Roland. Like, I wish they had picked like a more serious actor. Mm. You know, or like the guy who was in Lovecraft Country. Like, he would have been a great Roland.
That's another show I've just started watching, by the way.
Oh, really? What are you thinking of it so far?
That's pretty good so far. I understand that you guys had issues with how the season ended, but I'm a little bit.
So far.
The journey's really good. I'm excited for season two so they can actually tell more of the story. Yeah. But.
Did they make it official that they're making a season two? It hasn't been announced yet, has it?
I don't know. Hopefully they do. There's enough people tuning in. I'd imagine they will.
All right. Let's go into what's tickling our geeks. Since this is something that George created back in the day, let's start with you.
Well, it's definitely not Borderlands the movie. That's for sure.
Okay.
No, on a serious note. So I've been watching a lot of HBO Max lately.
Yeah.
And recently, I don't know how recent they put this on here, but this is a Cinemax show called Warrior, and it's finally on HBO. I've been
heard
wanting
about
to
this.
Watch this. Watched the show for the longest time, and it's based off of a treatment that Bruce Lee wrote that he wanted to make into a movie or show himself, starring him as a title character. And of of course, he died before it even got made, so it just kind of got shelved away with his stuff. And then Justin Lin was brought in as a producer to the show, and then the show kind of gained steam, and it became a thing. And they got 2 seasons. I don't know if they're going to do third season, but I burned my way through on season one, and I'm ready to watch season two. And it's a great martial arts drama action show, and I'm a big fan.
Better than Cobra Kai?
Yeah, I mean, Cobra Kai is piece of shit comparison.
Oh, geez. All right.
I said in comparison.
In comparison, okay. I've heard of the show. Another podcast that I listened to was talking about it recently, so, I mean, it's been in my radar for a little bit. So maybe. Cool. I got HBO Max.
It's been out for a couple of years, so it's pretty good. It's about the, like, where San Francisco in the 1800s, and it's really about, like, the racism of what's happening to the Chinese who are coming over, and they're trying to make a life, and they're being forced to live in this ghetto, which is eventually called Chinatown, and about how these rival gangs are just trying to make their way through.
Interesting.
What they call the white people ducks in the show.
Are you sure this isn't Big Trouble in Little China?
It's not Gangs of New York?
No, it's not Gangs in New York or Big Trouble in Little China. There's no mysticism or whatsoever.
Is there anybody that we would know in it?
There's nobody in it that I recognized, but the guy, one of the Asian guys, main Asian guys in the gang, he's like the gang leader or whatever. He's going to be in the new Fast and the Furious movie with the one with John Cena in it.
Yeah, it does.
So
not,
if you watch this show,
that doesn't help me at all.
If you watch the new Fast and the Furious trailer, you'd be like, oh shit, it's that guy.
I have not watched ever one Fast and the Furious movie.
We gotta change that.
No,
we should we should do audio commentary about how awesome, crazy that movie is.
The first one's
great. The rest are all pretty bad.
No. You gotta understand. You gotta watch one, skip all the rest of them, and watch 4 through 8.
Okay. What's up with 2 and 3?
They're terrible. But
I will.
You can go back later.
I'll backtrack a little bit. I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie, but I saw the Rock and Jason Statham movie, whatever that was called.
Oh, Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, there you go.
Piece of shit.
Aren't the characters from those movies, right?
What we should do, if we ever create a Patreon, we should create.
We are.
A Metal Geeks feature commentary length of Fast and the Furious.
You sort of jumped the gun a little bit. We're going to talk about that sometime soon. But yeah, I'd be down for it. I mean, there's an attraction at Universal. I have to sort of know what's going on if I ever go there, right? Probably don't matter.
I hear the ride is really bad anyway.
Yeah, it is.
I've heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
I was with people that went on it, and they all got out, and they were like, well, that was disappointing.
The movies are just ridiculously crazy, and they don't pay attention to physics whatsoever. So they're just so outrageous it becomes fun. If you go in that mindset that they're so stupid that it's fun, then you might enjoy
it. Is Jason Statham in every single movie?
No, he doesn't join until the last one, last couple.
He shows up around 6, and then
fuck that.
Popping up.
I'm not going to watch until he shows up.
All right, start with 6, Kerry.
We'll watch 5 through 8.
We'll watch 5 through 8.
There you go.
Dave, what about you? What's tickling your geek?
Right now, probably Moonspell coming out next week.
Oh, is that next week already? Yeah.
Or maybe 2 weeks.
Okay. I think it's next week.
Yeah, I think that
I've heard.
Sounds right.
I've heard a couple songs from it, and it's different, but different in a good way, I think.
I haven't heard any of it yet.
Oh. I heard the first song that was released. It's more like Extinct.
Yes.
It's very close to
Butterfly Effect and Extinct and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Which I dig. I like that more than their last couple albums. Yeah. So.
Do y'all remember that Butterfly Effect movie?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, y'all just talking about it.
We're talking about the album from Moonspell.
They had a song in the movie Butterfly Effect?
Yes, they did. All right. Justin, what about you, sir?
Well, like Dave, I'm looking forward to the Moonspell album.
What'd you say, Dave?
Everyone have a good long sigh at George.
Yeah, we did. All right, everybody stop. Go, One, two, three. All right. Moving on.
I'm glad I brought you all some joy. You're welcome.
I've learned how to do better breathing and inhale and exhale through my DDP yoga, so that really helped out.
Good. Good. But like I was saying, yeah, I'm looking forward to Moonspell. I'm really, really looking forward to the Harakiri for the Sky album.
Is it coming out next week?
Next week. It got pushed back from January. They've released another track, which is also just fucking
phenomenal. I haven't
heard
the new track.
There's one track on the album that has guest vocals from the singer from Garia, and I'm really looking forward to hearing that, but I have not been able to yet. So I'm pretty excited for that. And then I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet or not, but I'm super fucking excited for Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the trailer that came out.
That trailer was amazing.
Oh, my God. That was, like, probably the best trailer I've ever seen.
But to be fair, King of Monsters had a really good trailer, too, and that movie was not great.
I was thinking about the video game. The King of Monsters video game. Y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, kind of, I think.
It was a PS2 game, maybe, where you were, like, giant kaiju and just, like, fought around in a city. It was like a brawl game.
There was like a Godzilla counterpart.
Yeah.
And wasn't there like a giant robot?
Yep.
And
a giant moth type character. It wasn't official of any kind of like official. Like there was like, it wasn't really Godzilla. It was Godzilla like.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun game.
We're talking about the movie though.
Yeah, but the trailer for the movie just looks awesome. Like I'm glad they made Kong bigger so he can actually compete the way he should. You know, that whole scene with like, Godzilla's fire breath and him just grabbing it with his hand and shoving it back down his throat. I was like, fuck, that's amazing.
I think he was carrying some kind of metal or something in his hand.
When is that coming out? It's coming out on HBO Max, right?
Yeah,
same day release in April. I think.
And Mortal Kombat's coming out on HBO Max too, right?
Yeah.
Everything that Universal's putting out is coming out on HBO Max with the exception of possibly Dune.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's still coming out on HBO.
Last I heard, it was inconclusive whether it was or not.
It's still on their website, by the way. Okay. So are you King? Are you on Team Kong or Team Godzilla in this fact?
Go back and listen to like the first 500 episodes of Comical Podcast. I've always been Team Kong. Miguel was convinced Godzilla would win, and I was like, nope, no way.
Godzilla definitely is going to win, dude.
Nope, Kong's going to win.
Well, actually, what's going to happen is
Godzilla's going to win the tie round, and
King Kong's going to win the land round, and then they're going to have to band together.
Yeah, they're going to team up and fight Mecha Godzilla.
Exactly.
I've heard they're going to have to team up and they're going to have to fight Mothra.
No, Mothra's a good guy.
Mothra's a good guy. Mecha Godzilla's in the movie. It's already confirmed.
Is it?
They're going to fight Mecha Godzilla. Yeah, George is right. They're going to each win one battle. And then they're going to team up. I'm fairly sure that's what's going to happen. But
exactly.
That's pretty standard monster versus monster movie format.
Well, you can't have one fan base lose, basically.
Right, exactly.
Because you'll lose a fan base.
It's true. That's
it's
very true.
Like the Freddy versus Jason movie. Neither one of them really lost.
Yeah.
Right.
But we all won for watching it.
Exactly.
Did we, though?
Just like Alien versus
Freddy versus Jason's a lot of fun, even though
I'm just fucking around. It's fun. Yeah.
It is a fun movie. It's fun watch.
Alien versus Predator, that's a good one too.
Yeah, it's okay.
Star Wars versus Terminator. Well, the RoboCop versus Terminator, that video game, you remember that, right?
Oh my God, I forgot entirely about
that. Like a Sega Genesis game.
Didn't they have a Predator versus RoboCop comic?
I'm sure they have.
No, there's tons. There's tons of like Terminator and Predator versus everything.
Yeah.
Comics.
Yep. All right.
So anyway, I'm with you, Justin. I'm super excited for that.
I am excited for it too. We saw the Godzilla movie in the theater. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
I miss the movies. That's really the only thing I care about from the pandemic is I miss going to the theaters.
Are you guys thinking once y'all get the vaccine, you're going to go back to the movies?
Maybe.
I don't know. Eventually. Yeah.
Eventually.
It's going to be a little while for me, I think.
It depends which vaccine you get, right?
Well, I think any COVID vaccine you get, I think is the best vaccine because at least you have some protection. But, you know, a lot of theaters are doing their due diligence, at least the AMC and, an Alamo Draft House by my area.
You're vaccinated, George. Have you gone back to the Cedars?
Well, I'm waiting for my wife, Catherine, to get vaccinated because okay. You know, movies are not fun by yourself, at least for me. I enjoy going to the movies with my wife. So when she gets vaccinated, we'll take a good long talk about it and we'll hopefully go back.
Take a good long talk and then George will put his foot down and say, we're going back to the movies.
You want to support this marriage, right? You're going to go to the movies with me.
I mean, I'm a guy who used to go to the movies once or twice a week.
Yeah.
So it's been a tough year not having to go to the movie theaters. But I am also appreciative of all this VOD stuff. I think this is VOD is way of the future, and they should definitely do it more often.
It's gonna all change after everything after everything clears up and the theaters open back up. People aren't gonna. They're still gonna want that VOD on demand because it's gonna be. People are used to it now. They can just sit at home and watch the newest movies, you know?
Yeah.
Or even HBO Max giving you a V for free.
I know HBO got a lot of shit for doing that day and date, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, they're a business and they have to do what's best for their business.
It's not the entire, it's only like the first 30 days, something like that. After that, it's gone.
Yeah, it's only for the first 30 days, and it's after that, after it does its theatrical run, it goes back to like rental or whatever.
Right, and then DVD and Blu-ray sales and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
and it's only Universal Pictures. Like, there's still lots of stuff that comes out that if you want to see, you're gonna have to go.
Yeah,
yeah, like Disney's new animated movie Raya and the Last Dragon. That's gonna be day and date, but it's also gonna be on a premium price on Disney Plus.
Yeah, they didn't get me with Mulan, thankfully, because I watched that movie and it was horrible.
That movie is terrible.
I agree. I finally agree on a movie with you because that was not good. But that Raya movie,
I thought it was fine.
It was, I like the cartoon.
Was bad man.
All right. So moving on. I have a couple things that are really tickling my geek right now. They just announced the release date for the new Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart game for the PS5. So stupid excited for this. I am a huge Ratchet and Clank nerd. There you go. There's Ratchet and Clank a little bit. It's C-3PO, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a gift I got for Valentine's Day.
That is cool.
That's cool.
Who gave it to you?
My wife.
Andy.
Andy? Good job.
Andy got it for me for Valentine's Day. That's right.
I'm sorry I didn't get you anything, man. Next year I'll get you.
This recording is a gift on itself.
Sure. Sure it is. yeah, I'm a huge Ratchet & Clank fan, and I'm excited for it. It's finally coming out in June. I think June 11th.
Will that also be on PS4, or is it only on PS5?
I think it's a PS5 only game.
Damn.
Yeah. Time to get a PS5, sir.
I don't got the money, man.
Yeah.
I lost it all on GameStop and AMC.
Should have held your Dogecoin longer.
Right?
Oh, that Dogecoin's a piece of shit.
And the other thing I'm excited for is Arjen Lucassen. You know, I'm a huge nerd for this dude. He just put a Facebook post up or a video up this past week that he's working on a next Star One album. If you guys don't know what Star One is, it's his one of his projects that he does, and every song is based on a science fiction property, be it a film or a TV series or something like that. And the first two albums have had four vocalists: Floor Jansen, Dan Swano, Daniel Wilson, and Russell Allen from Symphony X. Those have been the four vocalists. Damien Wilson, that's his name. Phenomenal vocalist there, but he announced that this new album that he's working on is going to be, each song is going to have a different vocalist. So sort of changing it up a little bit, but hopefully the four original vocalists will actually all have a track on it. So it's a good stuff, man. I'm excited for that. Yeah.
Word.
Cool.
I'm not familiar with that project.
I think you would really dig it, Dave. The second album's really fucking heavy. It's really, really, really heavy. And if you like Dan Swano and you like Russell Allen and Floor, I mean, the songs are all about like The Matrix and Star Wars and, you know, The Terminator. There's a song about Terminator. It's all based on like science fiction properties. It's pretty cool.
Neat.
That's it. Yep. So check it out. Let me know what you think, man. I think that's going to wrap it up, man. Let's do some house cleaning really quick. First of all, thanks to everybody for tuning in to episode 194 of the Metal Geeks podcast. We're getting close to 200. Somebody let the bomb drop earlier that we're working on a Patreon thing.
Was it me?
Was it you? It was you. It's always you. We're working out some details. We'll have some more information on that soon. But if you want to find us on the internet, of course, you can go to metalgeeks.net. If you want to check out the show on any kind of your podcast platform that you download from, we're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, any program that you can actually download a podcast, we are there. We are on social media at Metal Geeks, and we have our Metal Geek Society Facebook page. Please come join us there. It's been a lot of fun. And we are still happy members of the ESO Network at esonetwork.com. Check it out and check out all the cool podcasts that make up the network. Let's start with Dave. Where can people find you?
Look for Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and see what I'm drawing and painting and stuff.
What are you working on right now? Do you have any projects right now?
Sort of. I'm working on some block print stuff right now.
I don't know what that is. And what is that?
Yeah, it's
like lino cut stuff.
Yeah, lino cut is specifically what I'm doing. Mm. Yeah, where you you carve the design out of, in this case, linoleum. You can do it out of wood. You can do it out of a couple of different things. I'm doing linoleum, and then you you ink it, and then press.
Oh, cool! On it
and you get
make them limited edition, Dave.
Yeah, I need to do that. I haven't done a lot of lino cut print stuff. I've done a little bit, but I like the art form, and I need to figure out how editioning works.
There's a couple of guys in the poster collecting community that do that, mm-hmm. and they have huge followings.
Yeah.
Like the Attack Peter guy, George, he does a lot of those like giant monster kaiju kind of stuff with lino cuts, and he has a huge, huge following.
Very cool. I've never heard about it before. That's very cool.
You've definitely seen the art form before, though.
Probably. I just never knew what it was, maybe.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's start with George, or go with George. What about you, sir?
You can find me at George Tripsis on all social medias, and also listen to me, you know, jerk around with Justin on this other podcast that we do called Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
I don't know
if
I
want new episodes.
That's right. I don't know if I want to hear you guys jerk around together, but you know.
Well, I mean, last time I was on, we talked about saying that we were going to put some new episodes out, but since then we've actually put out two, and I've got two more in the queue that I'm working on editing. So lots of new content. Definitely check out Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. It's available at mindfudgecomedy.com or on all of the podcatchers. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm at ComicalJC pretty much everywhere. And don't forget to check out our comic, Speak No Evil. It's available at graybearcomics.com, graybearcomics.com. George and I are working as often as we can on progressing. We haven't been able to meet up for a while, but we're going to get back to it soon.
Why, something happened recently where you can't meet up?
No, our schedules are just really busy.
Yeah. Some kind of pandemic or something happened?
Some kind of pandemic where everybody wants shit.
Right. Wants shit. Okay.
Everybody
all right.
Wants something.
But we'll have some new stuff on that soonish.
Cool.
So just keep an eye out.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with me again tonight. We will be back on the next episode very, very soon. Shit, there's one last thing we need to talk about. Oh, I know what it is.
Was it about keeping it metal?
It was about keeping it metal. You know what else it was about?
Balls.
Maybe
having
later.
Two of them?
What about one of them?
Oh, that's a problem.
No, it's not a problem.
Three's a problem.
One.
I guess three would be a problem.
Three is a problem. One's an inconvenience.
Just a sad story.
What's the other thing that we got to talk about?
Keep it geeky, my friends.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night, guys.
Later, Gators.
Later.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other Metal Geekery needs, please visit MetalGeeks.net.
Great things are coming on the Nerd Bliss podcast. We're changing up our presentation while keeping the candidness that you enjoy. We'll cover all your favorite shows and movies, with maybe a few surprises along the way. And you, yes you, will have opportunities to be on our show on a regular basis. That's right, you've got the Zoom Pro account, and we're going to use it. So be ready. Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com and esonetwork.com. And on all the socials at NerdBlissPod. NerdBliss. Listen up.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.